Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. Today, I'm joined by Rachel Speckman. I'm really excited to have her here on the podcast with me. She is a career coach, a therapist, and a strategist who helps people break out of soul-sucking jobs and discover a soul-aligned career that feels joyful, purposeful, and true to who they are. So, welcome, Rachel. Really excited to have you here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here and I'm so excited to save the world with you today.
Yay, amazing. Anything else you want to add to my intro that I didn't cover? Anything else you want to share?
No, I mean, I believe that you can work for a job and be miserable and misaligned and unhealthy and sick, or you can find what really speaks to you and try to figure out how do you align those skills and talents in a practical work-oriented way to make the money that you want and to work with the people doing what you want to do.
Totally. Amazing. Yeah, I completely agree. So, just some background on me. I worked in tech for the past 8 years. I've been wanting to go solo and do my own thing for years, but I've been too scared to do it. And I think the stability and the comfort of the 9 to 5 and the steady paycheck is very appealing and alluring. And the unknown is scary, right? Like, uncertainty is scary. We get so much comfort in stability and knowing somewhat what our day-to-day is going to look like. So now I'm on this journey of, basically just like trying a bunch of different avenues, trying to be an entrepreneur, exploring exactly like you mentioned, just what I'm truly passionate about. But it's scary. It's hard.
It's
Not
scary.
easy.
It's so scary. I was just telling a friend, I went on my own a few months ago as well. I've been doing therapy for another organization, and I've been doing coaching, and all of a sudden I am now my own boss, and that means that I make my own day and that I have said,
Right.
and I'll say this over and over again, I am strategy and operations. And
Yeah.
yes, I can hire people to do operations because really the strategy is the work that I want to do. But really thinking, wow, how do I have the skills to do both of those and do them both well and live my life and not feel attached to work all the time and all of those things?
Right? No, totally. And I think you're never fully off when you're your own boss. Like, it's a lot more demanding. You don't know what your day is going to look like some days. Like, you might spend half the day doing, like you said, those operational things, and the other half doing the actual work that you want to do. But it's all part of it. You're kind of just like a one-woman show doing a little bit of everything. But it's exciting. And I think it's also much more worth it. Like, at least for me personally, I'm so much more motivated when it's just me, when I'm the boss, as opposed to when somebody else is telling me what to do. Or I just feel like I wasn't really growing in those 9 to 5 type of roles. I feel like I'd almost maxed out and learned kind of everything there was to learn. And then it was just kind of going through the motions over and over again.
And that's so often the people that I work with and the people that come to work with me, which is I've been doing this for some time. My skills are not being sharpened. My values are misaligned, and I'm not that curious or passionate about what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And
Yeah.
so we need to start thinking together, what are those things that you are passionate about, the skills that you most enjoy using,
Yeah.
and what are the values that matter most to you right now? Not when you started the job, not when you started that master's degree or whatever the case is, but what matters to you now and why?
Totally. Yeah. I feel the same way. And I feel like almost I didn't realize that there were ways to make money through my path. Like, it's a combination. It's making money, doing something I enjoy, and helping the world. And I didn't realize that it was possible to do a job where I could do all three.
There we go. And you, so that's you. You are at the infusion. You're at the center point of using skills that matter to you, aligned with your values, and you're curious and interested about wanting to solve this. And I would
Exactly.
say that is really when, and then we have to start thinking differently about money, right?
Yeah.
Which is a whole topic I'm sure we could talk about,
Yeah.
but really kind of having more of an abundance long-term mindset of money. And I'm in this right now,
Exactly.
going from a steady paycheck
Yeah, same.
to trying to figure out the needs to have in terms of the bills and the nice to have and those kinds of things.
Totally. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Like, obviously, going from tech, which was very generous salaries, to right now, grinding to get a lower paycheck potentially, but still worth it to me, just in terms of the passion, the meaning behind it, and being my own boss, and gr the growth. The growth is huge. Amazing. So, Rachel, what is bringing you joy the most this week?
Oh my gosh, this week I'm so lucky. I have two beautiful small children.
Amazing.
So they're ages 7 and 3, and they are
Aw.
just incredible human beings, and they're just alight with intrigue and interest in every little thing, and building
Amazing.
Legos and playing pretend and running around in the backyard. Like, I'm just that's what's bringing me joy in that way this week, seeing them grow and develop. And I would say something else that's bringing me joy is I'm writing a blog for the
Nice.
Chamber of Commerce where I live. I
Wow.
live in Boston, and it's a blog about literally this: how do you align your skills and values and interests? And I'm doing some more disclosure about who I am and how I got to where I'm at.
Amazing.
And it feels very scary, but it feels really right.
Totally. I think I was listening to a podcast, like as someone who does podcasts, I still listen to a lot of
Course, of
podcasts.
course.
And there was one about this concept of, I like to say, like it really stuck with me, which is being pushed into your purpose. And I think it's very uncomfortable because sometimes it's like we're forced into it, whether you want to call it the universe, God, but some force pushes us into a direction that ultimately is where we're supposed to be. But it's so scary. Like I said, that uncertainty and the unknown, but ultimately it's all happening for you for the best.
It is, and I think that's the right on time piece. And I'm working with a lot of people that have been laid off or that are anticipating a layoff, and it's very, very scary is not even the right word for it. And this is where a lot of the mental health pieces come in about like what's actually happening internally for you, systematically, what's happening as it relates to identity, community, all of it.
Totally.
And it's okay. Well, how do I put the pieces together? I'm not going to say back together. How do I put the pieces together in a way that serves me as far as what is next? And so I always like to be very practical when I'm talking to people. Like, okay, we could talk about these ideas. What are some actual things you can be doing right now if you are misaligned in your current role?
Right. Do you have any specific advice that maybe you were getting to that?
I do. I have sort of a three-step method to start getting more and more aligned.
Awesome.
So the first one is
Amazing.
it's pay attention. If you were to shine a spotlight on stage, you want it to be on the lead character. You don't have to be on the background on something that's not that important in that scene. What are the things that you are shining a spotlight on that are giving you the most joy? And how can you turn those up? And so if that's doing something solo, okay, well, how do you create more solo space for yourself? If that's leading a team meeting, how do you say, I want to lead more team meetings? And so really getting very thoughtful about, huh, what am I paying attention to? The second one is once you've shined that spotlight, okay, let me give myself a goal, not an unrealistic goal, but let me push myself a little bit. Let me sign up for the next thing that scares me. Let me take a course in something that I'm curious about, right? So taking action.
Nice.
And then the third piece, and this is a huge one, is finding community or accountability. Because without community, without accountability, we can all have we can all have these ideas, and it's wonderful as we should, but it's who's actually counting on us to get these things done besides ourselves.
Community is huge. It's a big one. Very beneficial. I actually had my mom on my podcast last week, and we were talking about that as well because she's an artist. She's kind of doing the artist entrepreneur route, and she's in a lot of artist com like networking communities where they not only support each other but also keep each other accountable, like you said.
Exactly. So you need to find your tribe. Your tribe attracts your vibe attracts your tribe, all of that.
Yeah, exactly. Totally agree. Well, I would love to get into just like your background and how you sort of ended up where you did in your path. Could you tell us a little bit about your Stockholm keynote and your wake-up call?
Yeah, my Stockholm keynote. Yeah. So I started off my career in education. I was a classroom teacher, K to
Oh, wow.
eight, for about 8 years.
Wow. Very nice. In
Yep,
Boston?
in Boston. And then I helped start a charter school in New Orleans. I love
Oh,
starting
wow.
things. I love being on
Amazing.
founding teams. And I thought I was going to save the world through education. That's actually what I say. I was going to save the world one child at a time, which I realized looking
One.
back was such a presumptuous thing to say, but that's kind of where I was at. I loved kids. I loved working in the classroom at that time.
Well,
What I
now you're
realized,
saving the world one podcast at a time.
there we go. What I realized I didn't love in terms of spotlight was I did not like classroom management. I did not like school politics. There were just certain things that felt way too constraining for me in that environment. And so I pivoted my skills. I didn't even know that word at the time, but I said, well, what can I do?
Pivot.
Pivot. So I took that kind of desire and love for kids and curriculum, and I ended up working at a large organization that does after school programming at hundreds of sites all over Boston. And
Wow.
so all of a sudden I became a project manager, I became a conference leader,
Amazing.
I was kind of corralling people, and then I realized, well, wait a sec, I really enjoy what I'm doing. I
Yeah.
don't feel as though I understand the financial piece, and I want more of a presence when I'm leading the organization. So I started doing an MBA part-time.
Amazing. Wow. Awesome.
And when I started the MBA, I ended up basically working for several different large startup organizations. And again, there was sort of this like climb or this like lateral move or all kinds of things were happening, but I was acquiring all these great leadership skills and practical skills as well, marketing, operations, budget, event
Amazing.
planning, fundraising.
Which these are all really important skills in whatever path you would choose, right? Like those are
They really are.
incredibly
They really
valuable.
are.
Yeah.
So all of this is happening, and then I start a family planning journey. I start trying to have a child.
Amazing.
And it did not go as planned. It took a long time. Had some unfortunate experiences happen during that, and I
Oh, sorry
basically
to hear.
realized that's okay. Thank you. And when I finally had my first child, I was invited. I went back to work. I was invited to speak at a conference in Stockholm in the field that I was in.
Amazing.
And while I was there, I mean, this is literally like talk about a professional opportunity to go speak at a conference in Stockholm, all expenses
Yeah.
paid. My wife and my son came with me. It
Amazing.
was, and I was there and I was like, this is not what I was meant to do.
Wow.
I was not, I mean, I got on stage, I did the thing, I did my
Yeah.
speech, you know, all of it. It took me, I went out for dinner that night with somebody we had met at a museum, actually. We just kind of hit it off. And she was there, she was an anthropologist. And I was like, tell me about that.
Right.
And she's talking about the history of humans and study. And I said, oh my gosh, I need to be working with people, not businesses.
Yeah, right.
And it was this like profound realization for me that what looks good on the outside is not always what feels good on the outside. And often it actually can be very different.
Yeah, totally.
So that was my Stockholm, I'm not gonna say my Stockholm syndrome. I never thought about it that way, but
Yeah.
that was
It's
my
a
Stockholm moment. And it was sort of
wake-up
the
call.
beginning of, it was my calling. It was the beginning of like, I mean, my company, my firm is made for more coaching. It was the beginning of being like, I was made for something besides this. I get to
Yeah.
define what more is, but it's not this.
Totally. I feel similarly to you, by the way. Like I always work behind the scenes in marketing. Like it's a very behind the scenes role. You're not doing a lot of the selling face to face like you would with sales or operations or customer service. And I was kind of always scared to put myself out there. And now I'm going totally in the opposite direction with this podcast, like literally putting my face out there for the whole world to see. And it's very scary, but exactly as you mentioned, sometimes you have to have those moments and just something hits you and you're like, oh my gosh, why was I so afraid to do that this whole time? What I truly wanted to do, but it's
Right.
scary.
And you know, for those that are listening, you can put this in the notes, but I do a lot of posting on LinkedIn, and a lot of the posting I do is either client interviews or I'll talk about sort of a theory behind finding work that you love, and I encourage everybody to connect and follow me in that way. And one of the things that I really have, we all have complicated, I think, relationships with social media, or we can, but I do think about it as a microphone. And it's like, if you're
Yeah.
going to have the microphone, what are you going to say?
Yeah. There's a lot of power in that, and there's a lot of fear in that
And
as
there's
well.
exactly,
Yeah.
you know, and so that is, and you know, in one of the jobs that I had a really wonderful opportunity to work with brands across the country. And so I was working, I'll just share this quick story. I was
Yeah.
working, talk about doing something that's fearful. I was working with Microsoft at the time,
Wow.
and I was running this huge campaign for them. And I didn't finish what happened after Stockholm. I will get there.
Yeah, that's
So
all.
I was working with this huge campaign, and I fumbled. I could not get the words out of my mouth when I was presenting to the client.
Oh, wow.
And I turned to my boss, and my coworker jumped in, and he kind of rescued me. And I turned to my boss, and I said, "Are you going to fire me?" That was what I said in the parking lot.
Oh my gosh. Wow, you said
And
that
I
flat
literally said that, and we had a very good relationship. And I just said
Okay.
to him, almost as a joke, "Are you going to fire me?" But
Half serious.
how serious? And he turned to me and he said, "I'm not. I'm going to send you to Toastmasters to get better at
Oh,
public speaking."
there you
And I
go.
did that for 2 years.
Wow, amazing.
And that's a good example of like stepping into your fear.
No kidding. That's wow. How was that? Did you learn a lot there?
Oh my gosh, I recommend Toastmasters to everyone. I want to go back actually because I think there's even more growth I could do there. But if you go
Such
to
a good skill.
Toastmasters, if you are scared of public speaking, go to Toastmasters. But here's the thing, don't go to Toastmasters and sit there. Every time I went, I challenged myself to speak one time in front of the group.
Amazing.
Even if it was just welcome everyone, and then I sat back down because that's exposure therapy. I was exposing myself to what was causing me fear.
Absolutely. Oh, totally. By the way, my background, so I actually used to do stand-up comedy, which is the scariest thing you can possibly do. It's so much rejection. Like, it's not only speaking in front of a crowd, but so much like when you do a speech, just a regular speech, right? There's not like a full-on rejection, like they laugh or they don't laugh in the way that, I mean, there might be a little bit of that, but it's not the same as like stand-up where your joke either lands or it bombs. And it's so much rejection, but I feel the same way. Like every time I would do it, I was so scared and so nervous to do it. But then every time you do it, it's like the fear and the stress about it gets a little bit less and less each time.
And when I love comedy. It's actually one of the ways I decompress from therapy sessions and from client work. We have to take care of ourselves as much as we can, of course,
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
in this work.
For sure.
And I admire comedians so much. I've done storytelling on stage, which even gives you more leeway than comedy. I was just at a comedy club in New York City 2 weeks ago,
Oh,
and
wow.
you could tell certain ones were landing with the audience and certain ones weren't. And I was like, wow, you were just like naked on stage. Everyone to see everything about you. So good for you.
It's very scary. I would always go into it just with the assumption that people won't laugh. Like, that's the only way.
That's
Just
good.
assume you're gonna
That's
bomb and
assuming,
then
you
maybe,
know?
yeah. Wait, so you were saying about the Stockholm story, though. I want to finish that.
Yeah, so there I was in a role, had this position, had a child, my first child, had a mortgage. You know, was like, oh my gosh, I'm stuck in this job. And I sat with that for a long time. That's a lot of clients I work with now. And then I started working with a coach and said, well, what do I love doing? I love people. Well, how do I monetize connecting with people? And then the pandemic started and I was exploring many different avenues. And I ultimately decided to go from senior director to an intern. And I started social work school. And it was the largest change I ever made in my whole life professionally. I had always made these kind of smaller pivots. That's what I help people do is I help them figure out do they need to make a small, medium, or large pivot. And I realized at that point I really needed to make a large pivot. Many of my other pivots had been small or medium, or you know, this was large,
Huge.
huge. And it was the like when I arrived and I the first day at my internship site, which was honestly the like talk about stand-up comedy if you had. We can go into it, but I was so afraid of talking to clients about death and dying and grief.
Oh, yeah, those are big ones.
And I was at a nursing home, and that's what I was doing all day long.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is a stand-up skit. Like, that could be a whole 10-minute stand-up
It was
routine.
amazing. It was the most amazing, heartfelt work I had ever done, and maybe will ever
Wow.
do. I'm not sure. I mean, it was so moving. I'm still trying to figure out how I like make. How I turn what I did there into a career because, you know, we're always trying to find what fills our heart and soul up and our brain and our paychecks and all the things we need to do. But that, you know, fast forward, I ended up becoming a therapist. I'm now a private therapist, work with
Amazing.
individual clients. And because I had made so many pivots, people that I had worked with started reaching out to me and said, how did you make that move? And how did you make that move? And can you help
Amazing.
me with this? I've always been a writer. I've always been a resume kind of editor for friends and family. And pre-AI, you know, in that way,
Oh yeah,
which we still need, we still need.
jeez.
And that's how I became a career coach.
Amazing. I think, well, first of all, therapy is huge now. Like, it's never not been important, but I think nowadays in our world, we're in a very weird, dark, depressing era, like just an unprecedented time. So I do think that even though there's AI therapists, we want human to human connection. So I really think that that's something that's hopefully never going to go away. At least for me personally, that's my opinion. But also, I think nowadays, just more and more people, therapy has become, I think in my, even like my parents' generation, it was heavily stigmatized. And a lot of people were, they thought there was like something wrong with them for going to a therapist. Whereas my generation, like I'm a millennial, almost all my friends go to therapy. And it's not stigmatized at all. And we talk about it very openly and we all share, oh, well, my therapist said this and my therapist said that. So I do think that's one of the positive changes, especially since the pandemic, by the way. It's just very, very needed.
What I took away from that is the need for human connection. And I actually write about this quite a bit on LinkedIn too. Like as AI takes off and as tech and everything, we're gonna need the counterbalance to that. We're gonna need this authentic human
Real.
connection, support, being in the same room, the same Zoom room, the same physical room with people, really supporting each other to say, well, is that serving you? Is that serving you? Right? Are you soul aligned? Okay, you're soul drained. Okay, well, let's get you a little bit more soul aligned. I use those words specifically because
I love that.
it is very commonplace to be soul drained. It's sort of like, yeah, that's just the way that life is. That's not true.
Soul sucking.
Yeah, that is not true. It doesn't have to be that way every moment of the day, right? And I know this firsthand because that was me. That was me in Stockholm, like, well, this is what it is. And now I'm here. That's not true. Then all of a sudden, a whole new part of me came online.
Amazing. Well, let's get into that a little bit as well. What were the first signs that you felt like success was not aligned with your soul, like traditional success?
Yeah, traditional success. I would say I'm still on a journey with that. I mean, I think the traditional success is, are you making money? You know, do people like you? Like, does the community, your reputation, like all of that? So I would say I'm still focused on maintaining that to the best of my ability. And I would say I am so much more intentional with myself around, wait a sec, am I doing this because somebody else wants me to or because I want to? Is this a good hard or a bad hard? Is this serving me? Is this serving something that somebody else made up for me? And these are not easy questions. These are the questions I've talked to clients about, and they sometimes ask, you know, invite more questions for ourselves. But that's where the deeper work is going to happen. And that's where you're going to start to feel like, you know what? When I did that thing, when I talked to Natalie, we had that aha together. I want more of those, the back to the spotlight. Oh, when I went and wrote that LinkedIn message, I felt like a sleazy salesperson. I did not like that. So, like, it's about the feel. It's about the feel.
How you feel deep down
Yeah.
doing each of these things. Amazing. Okay, so comfort, stretch, and panic zones. What do they mean?
Okay. So if you have a visual, picture a circle, that's your comfort. Then inside that comfort is a bigger circle, your stretch. And then outside of that circle is your panic.
Okay. So
Okay.
it's like the furthest you
The
could be.
furthest. So some people are like, so we'll use your example. You're going 9 to 5, you're bored. Panic is, I'm out of here, I'm quitting, I'm gonna be my own entrepreneur. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I just
What
did
have
something.
I done?
What have I done? I just hit my panic zone. And then all of a sudden you're back to your comfort zone. Okay, so you're back and forth, comfort, panic. Another good example often is people don't like to go to networking events. I don't want to put myself out there. I'm going to be in my panic zone. So part of what I do with people is the individualization of, well, what's something that's right on the edge of your comfort and your stretch zone? Because the goal, you hadn't done a podcast before, right? So then you were all of a sudden in your panic zone, but now it's more in your stretch zone. So the goal, again, if you picture those three circles, is we all need things in our comfort zone, comfort food, Netflix, our good friends, whatever. And when we get into our panic zone, it's when it gets red hot and it's like, you know, hand on the stove, got to get out of here. We have to find things that are in the stretch zone that push us and pull us so that we're integrating. We're not getting too comfortable, but we're not getting too afraid of every single thing that's around us. Because that's
Interesting.
when the fight or flight goes off. If you think about like the mental health terminology, but we don't want to be, it's also called eustress. I could do all these mental health terms for you. Eustress is a good stress, and that's what we're looking for. And I think because we're either used to, our society tends to think in binaries. I'm either bored or I'm overwhelmed. Okay, well, what's in the middle?
The middle ground. Wow, interesting. That's such a great way of looking at it because I think exactly as you mentioned, when we get into that panic mode, it can become too much for us, and it's scary, as I've said. But we still want to grow continuously. At least for me personally, I think that's why I ended up being so bored. Because at some point in your career, you're going to max out of what you're doing. You're going to feel like, okay, I've done this a million times. What's next? And there are some people who really love doing the same thing forever and they find a lot of comfort in that. But for me personally, I'm the type of person that always wants to be challenged and growing. And especially now with AI, I almost feel like we have to think a lot less. And it's becoming already, at least for me, kind of dissatisfying. Like I feel like I'm not thinking as much as I had to even 2 years ago before AI. And I don't know. I wonder if there's going to be like a counterculture to that. Something's going to swing the other way. I don't know.
That's very interesting. I want to say something. For me, because AI has obviously transformed things. Oh, let me an email. Let me just put this in here. Oh, let me just
Yeah,
do
we
this
don't
stuff
have to
this way.
think. Yeah.
And again, if you're not being so, I love doing things where I can't use AI. Like I'm a
Yeah.
swimmer, and one of the reasons I love swimming is I can't be on my phone when I'm doing it. Okay, so
Totally.
I have the piano right here. I try to play like a little bit every day because AI can't do that. I have to be able to do that.
Right.
I like writing. Okay, well, if I'm going to be a creative writer, I can't have AI write it for me.
Yeah.
So we have, again, back to that comfort panic zone. We want to
Yeah.
be in that sweet spot. And that sweet spot's different for you than for me than for the next person. And I do think we really need a coach, a therapist, a guide, a
Yeah.
community to help us figure out what that is and how to kind of get deeper into that zone and then stay consistent.
Do you have any suggestions for how listeners can spot which zone they're in?
Yeah, and I have a visual I can give you as well that I use with clients, and it's part of the exercises that I do. And everybody can do it right now too.
Yeah.
Look, everybody's gonna have a day, a week, a few, whatever, where just things are not, you're flying in all the directions, right? It's just how life
Crazy.
is.
Yeah.
But I would say if the comfort zone, if you are like, this feels on repeat, this is the biggest one for me. I am disengaged. I'm not in the present moment. I'm somewhere else.
Right.
I'm fantasizing, I'm disassociating, I am thinking about the next thing. For me personally, if I'm engaged, I'm in the right zone for me.
Right.
The panic zone, I think most people know that because your body starts responding, right? Your body keeps
Yeah.
the score, your body has the data.
Yeah.
So it's sweating, it's heart palpitations, your skin breaks out. That's a lot of panic zone. And
Yeah.
often we get into that panic zone when we have not been listening to ourselves for some time.
Interesting. So we've been just like ignoring our needs.
Yep, we've been
Interesting.
ignoring our needs, and it's so easy to ignore our needs because we have to eat, we have to go to work, we have to do all the
Yeah.
things, and then it's like we're
Obligations.
overwhelmed about what to do with our needs that aren't being met. And so I would propose you kind of say, what are the top 3 to 5 needs that I have that aren't being met, and what's one little thing I can do to meet them today?
Amazing. Okay. Awesome. So, and then do you have any other tips for how to stretch without panicking? Or is it just like you said, focus on the small set of tasks that you can do each day? Anything else?
I love the 2-minute day rule. That's how I was able to write my book. That's how I'm able to do a lot of different things. If I give this 2 minutes a day, but don't give it a ton of brain space, if I just, the momentum, the consistency, the cumulative impact of it. So I took a social media break for the last 5 years. I was not on anything, and it has been fantastic. And then I realized, wait a sec, actually I can use this, like I said, as a microphone, as a voice. But I'm not gonna be, it's not gonna be every single thing I think of, which is like content, 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 like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's again about figuring out, well, what is in my zone of enjoyment? And all of a sudden, when I start to panic, whoa, what's happening here? So I think that the tips I can give people are, it's so uncomfortable to be uncomfortable. And so
Yeah.
sitting with that discomfort and sitting in it, that but there's so much knowledge at the other side of that.
Yeah. But I think that's true of not just with work, but anything in life. I think that we live in this quick fix society where everyone wants to put a band-aid on things instead of sitting with the discomfort, sitting
Yes.
with the pain, sitting with the hurt, sitting with the fears. And so people turn to vices or social media or their phones or anything where they can get that quick dopamine hit instead of sitting in that uncomfortable feeling.
I would even argue sitting can be sitting and doodling, sitting and playing the piano, sitting and writing a creative poem about the trees that I'm looking at. Like sitting can doesn't have to be sit there in misery and
Wallow.
like wallow. I love wallow is willingly allowing. I don't know if you've ever heard that. Wallow
Oh,
is
no.
willingly allowing.
Yeah, right.
So turn that willingly allowing to this is a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Or this is a lot uncomfortable. Obviously, I'm going to take my hand off of the stove. I'm going to put it under some cool water. I'm going to package it, or I'm sorry, bandage it up gently.
Yeah.
And really, that kind of attuning to I'm going to be able to, as Glennon Doyle says, like do hard things or move through this.
Yeah. Amazing. No, that's a great way of looking at it. Well, how do you let go of what feels safe? Like, how would you recommend anyone listening that is in the comfort zone and they're ready to step out of it? How can they let go of that safety and comfort?
Right. So think back to those three circles and let's take networking. I always use this as a good example. You're afraid to network. You don't want to go to that thing. What are people going to
I
think? Ex bring a
have a
friend.
network thing tonight, actually.
There we go. Good for you.
I'm feeling this. Yeah.
Bring it. Okay. Well, here we go. Great. So here, let's set you up for success. That's the other big thing I say. I have small children. I'm like, if we don't bring snacks, we're not setting them up for success.
Yeah.
We have to
Be
set
prepared.
ourselves up for success.
Right.
Okay. So for you tonight, I love this. Okay. This is like coaching real time.
Ha
Okay, wear an outfit that you feel really confident in.
That's
Practice
a
what
good
you're
one.
gonna say so that you feel like you have like your pitch down even just a little bit. Practice it with a friend. Practice it with me. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Bring your cards, bring your assets. Like be ready
Yeah.
internally and externally. Then, this is like a big one, force yourself to go the moment that you don't want to.
Yeah.
It's called opposite action. So when we're depressed, when we're anxious, we want to, again, wallow, willingly
Yeah.
allow.
Yeah.
So we have to push through that. Not every single time. Sometimes we're not going to, and that's okay. But try to push through that. I always recommend people, in terms of like their stretch zone, find a friend to go with you. Stop by your
That's a good one.
favorite, ice cream store afterwards to reward yourself or whatever the case is that you like want to do. Make it easy as possible to go. So that, it's like right next to where dinner is with your friend, like that kind of thing. So that you are creating comfort for yourself in this stretch zone.
Amazing. Yeah, that's a great idea. I had the same advice in a different podcast, actually, talking about people who are afraid to show up to events, not just networking, but like making friends, basically, in more of that context. But yeah, exactly. Like, I think it's the same with exercising too. Like, if I don't want to go to the gym, somehow I just like put on the outfit, put on my gym clothes, and force myself to go. And then afterwards, I'm always happy I did it,
Right.
right?
I do this YouTube workout, and the last screen of it is you never regret a workout.
That's literally what I always say. That's like
You
my
never regret a
motto.
workout. And if it's an event where you're going to meet one person, or you have the time, where you're interested in the topic, and you can squeeze it into your life, you're not going to regret that event. Now, you also have to be discerning about there are so many options out there, like what to say yes to and what to say no to. But I do think like if it's fear that's holding you back, and if it's sort of that known thing on the couch or the Netflix show, it's going to be there when you get back. I
So
promise
true.
you.
Totally. So do you have any advice for someone who is scared of the free fall?
You're talking to an adrenaline person, so have a friend jump the free fall first. No, I'm just kidding. That's what I did for I did a cliff jump a few weeks ago. It was awesome. I'm going to say something that might feel counterintuitive. Don't jump into the unknown. Okay? When you're unhappy, my top advice is do not quit tomorrow. Don't be impulsive. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help you. Yes, it helps you in the immediacy, but then all of a sudden, everybody I work with, I say they could have a job tomorrow. We reverse engineer what you're doing so that it feels good to who you are and what fits you. So my advice is most people find me when they're at 20 to 40% enjoyment of their job. And I said the goal is to get to 80%. Okay, well, we're not going to get there tomorrow. You got to go from 20% to 21%, and then 21 to 22%. It's an incremental change. It's the consistency, and it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
And so I would say don't free fall. I would say
Edge your way.
intentionally create a plan, create a 3 to 6 month exit plan,
Amazing. Great.
and evaluate that plan as you're doing it, and find good people around you.
But what if someone is laid off or fired, as is becoming increasingly common nowadays, and given zero notice and literally forced into that free fall?
Ah, you're pushed into the free fall.
Pushed into the purpose, as I said before.
That's a different situation.
Yeah, right.
Then I would work with you to say, let's get really intentional very quickly about who are you, what matters to you, what's your network like, what are your assets like. We could get very detail oriented around where are you looking for roles, what are you looking for, do you want to work for yourself, what's your appetite for risk. Right? We can be very diagnostic about some of these things as it relates to your finances, your mental health, your network, how many years you've worked.
Nice. Okay. Awesome. Well, what is a joy audit and how do we do one?
Oh my gosh, a joy audit. A joy audit is sort of back to that spotlight, but instead of it looking outwards, you're looking inwards. So I sometimes write about this that like the first 2 weeks of the pandemic, I was like everybody, like, what is happening in the entire world? And I have a beautiful backyard, and I basically realized I don't know what's going on around the entire world, but what I do know is that I'm sitting in a beautiful backyard, and what I can do is do a cartwheel because that's going to give me a little bit of joy. And since 2019, really 2020, I have been doing, including through a pregnancy, three cartwheels a day every day since that time.
Oh wow, love it. Amazing.
I just did the three before it, and I do it, and I'll and now I like I have a thread with my cousins. We call it the cartwheelers. Like
Oh,
I'll
so
sometimes
cute.
post them, but it's my little joy audit. There are certain days where I don't want to do it, of course, or I'm just like I'm too busy. It's three cartwheels. That's it. So I use that specific example because it's just a little jolt of joy,
Yeah, totally.
and every little jolt matters. You know, the other thing I want to tell people, and I know we're going to wrap up fairly soon, but is like be really intentional about who's in your life and who's bringing you that kind of joy. Start to notice when you spend time with somebody, do you feel drained afterwards or do you feel excited and enlivened by them? And the same thing for tasks and the same thing for the things that we have to do every single day. Does it, of course, a lot of things are not going to, not every single thing is going to give us that kind of joy and that kind of openness. When we're starting to pay attention to that, we can attract those things more.
So true. I agree. Anything in life, like ultimately you magnetize what is valuable for you. And I don't know, I think it's so interesting. Like, yeah, like you said, the people you surround yourself with affect you so much as well. And if you're not around people who inspire you and motivate you might have like toxic friends or relatives, it can kind of drag you down and impact your success as well.
Right. And some of them we have to spend time with, and that's just part of what it is, but we can limit it and we can put those, we can have a therapy session about the boundaries, but you know.
No, for sure. Totally. Okay. So, rapid fire, we're going to do just some really quick, fun, rapid fire questions. Okay. So, are you a morning person or a night owl?
Rapid fire. I'm naturally a night owl, but because I have small children, I've become a morning person.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. Have to be with little kids. Coffee order. What's your go-to coffee order?
Black.
Just black.
Just black.
Hot. Okay. What?
I'm an intermittent faster, so I don't eat until later in the day, and black
Oh,
coffee is the way.
amazing. Amazing. What is one book that's changed your life?
Ooh, outrageous openness.
What is your go-to guilty pleasure TV show?
Oh my gosh, love Netflix, love like Love is Blind,
All the trash, dating
love all
trash.
of that kind of dating trash. So fun.
Love Island?
Haven't seen
Are
Love
you?
Island yet.
Oh,
Queer Ultimatum, I'm in for it.
okay, amazing. What is one instant joy that you find at work?
Instant joy, connecting with people deeply.
Amazing. What is a dream job that you might have, if not what you're currently doing?
I would love to be coaching CEOs to be more conscientious leaders and to tap into their employees' joy as much as they can.
Amazing. Love it. What is one piece of advice that you would have for your younger self?
Oh, I love that question. Trust, have faith. And I still have that for my advice for myself now. But just trust and have faith. You're going to figure it out. You've never not figured it out. You're going to keep figuring it out.
Yeah, so true. Totally. Okay, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for your time. It was such a pleasure speaking with you today. We didn't save the world today, but I hope everyone listening learned a thing or two about finding their purpose and finding joy in their careers. Rachel, where would you recommend that the audience connect with you? Where can they see your content or work with you if they're interested in becoming a client?
RachelSpeckman.com, SpeckMan, or madeformorecoach.com.
Okay, awesome. Anything else you want to share with the audience before we wrap up?
I'll end with a visual. Here we go. I keep this right here.
Ah,
I
love
think
it.
your physical space matters so much. So keep up some positive inspiration because the workday life is just going to throw you all these things. We got to keep motivating ourselves as much as we can.
Totally. Yeah, I really agree. Well, thank you so much for your time, and thank you all for listening to Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for having me.
Likewise, it was a pleasure.